On Friday, I was hanging out with Father Bill up in Flint. We were watching Aretha Franklin's funeral. And my first thought was, wow, this guy can preach. And my second thought was, I hope all of my people are watching him preach because then they'll appreciate how concise and brief my homilies are. Well, today, Jesus is bringing up to us the need to purify our hearts. Not the outward appearance, not the show that we put on sometimes, or the way that people view us, whether we're putting on a show. Just what's in the heart. And he goes right for it. Jesus is just cutting through everything and saying, where's your heart? I want to purify your heart. The Pharisees, he calls them hypocrites, which means stage actors. And what they portray to the world is not the real attitude of their hearts. And they're hiding what's really there from God and from one another. But Jesus says to rend your hearts, not your garments. We're in a time of purification in the church, and Jesus is inviting us as his bride to rend our hearts. And that's a really kind of a graphic image. I mean, when you rend your garments, when the Pharisees would do this, or not just the Pharisees, but you're ripping your clothes. Like you're ripping them open as a sign of repentance or as a sign of indignation or anger, or if somebody would just speak a blasphemy and I was so holy that I would be indignant, I would just rip just right through, And Jesus is saying to do that with our hearts, to rip them open. Why? It sounds painful, right? And it is. But it's not bad, it's good. Jesus says, not that these outward things are bad, but from within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery. He goes on. It's our hearts. He says, it's in your heart. I want you to rend your hearts, not your garments. He says, these evils come from within and they defile. These things do defile us. And in this time of purification, the Lord wants to go deeper with his church. He wants to go deeper with each and every one of us. He doesn't want us to stay on the surface level, as the Pharisees did. They followed the tradition of the elders. He says, you disregard God's commandments, but cling to human tradition. The human traditions, the human tradition of this is how we do things like this. And we have our own as Americans. They're very different from the Pharisees he's speaking to. But our own traditions, some of them we disregard God's commandments to keep to human tradition. For example, never talk about religion or politics, ever. Never offend anybody or make them feel bad about themselves. And do everything you can, like at all costs, don't offend people. Don't ever say that anything is a sin. Never say that something is a sin. Don't admit your sins to each other. There's no such thing as sin, but don't actually tell somebody what's really going on in your heart if it's kind of sinful and shameful. Keep that bottled in, locked up, put a good front on things to the world. These are our human traditions. And the Lord says, those are not my commandments. And he broke those. Well, he didn't have sins to open up to the world, but Jesus broke those. And he wants us to hold to God's commandments. He wants us to know what those are and that those don't change with the times. And he's calling us to purity, and especially with everything going on in the news right now. There's the recent revelation about a week ago that of an accusation. The accusation was leveled that the Holy Father knew about Cardinal McCarrick, that there were homosexual and predatory actions on the part of Cardinal McCarrick that the Pope knew about. And this guy says the Pope didn't do anything and he covered it up. Now, when we hear that, the first thing we want to do is go in a million different directions. And sometimes we want to be outraged and it's not very focused. I want to encourage you to watch Bishop Barron on this. He's got an interview that I posted to our Facebook page. You could probably also find it on YouTube. And he encourages us to have a sense of peace and a sense of calm, and to realize that in this sort of a moment, what we need is the truth. We don't need to go running off and making accusations. I wish that our Holy Father, the Holy Father has said he's not going to speak on this. I wish that he would. I feel like we need to hear from our shepherd. And some people have petitioned him to say, Holy Father, on behalf of this group or that group, we would really like you to speak to us. We don't want to be a church of secrets or cover-ups. And those sorts of petitions and things, those are fine. Those are good as long as they're in a spirit of unity with the Holy Father. And they're not, the ones that I read were not terrible. They were not asking for someone's head on a platter or someone to resign. Just, Holy Father, speak to us. We want to know. We want to hear from our shepherd. The other reality that is going on right now, speaking, and I'm speaking about the purification of the church, the reality is going on is some of the people in the media are using this as an opportunity to say, the Pope is changing. The Pope heard about these actions, these homosexual activities of the clergy, and he's changing the church teaching. This is what the media wants you to think, that the Catholic Church is changing their teaching, and that that's not a sin, and that's why the Pope isn't concerned about it. So as your shepherd, because I love you, and I always want to speak the truth to you, I want to tell you that indeed the church's teachings have not changed. Marriage is between one man and one woman, because in the way that a man and a woman have a sexual complementarity that God has created in order to be a communion of persons in love that can bring new life into the world, and many times it actually does, that is the design of our bodies, that is the design of our sexuality, and that is the purpose of it. And there are many ways that we might be tempted to not use our sexuality in that way. A homosexual action would be one of them. It's not the ultimate sin, it's not the only one, but homosexual actions are sinful because they're not in accord with the design of our sexuality, meant to be a sacred gift, given in the context of marriage. But I want to say this. If you or if someone you know are experiencing same-sex attraction, you are not defined by what Cardinal McCarrick did or those bishops or those priests. You are not defined by that. Nor are you defined by that attraction, by that desire. That's not your identity. You are defined by the same two things that define each and every one of us. God's love for you and your response to God's love. It's the same for each and every single one of us. And if that's you, you belong here. This is your home. You belong here. You too are called to chastity. And even sometimes that takes on a very heroic form. For those who experience same-sex attraction, at times even to the point of celibacy. But if you would want to follow Jesus here with us in this community, I would just want to say, if you would want to walk with us as we stumble our way toward Jesus, I would be honored to walk with you. But this is about purifying our own hearts. And so, where's your heart? Maybe you're struggling, actually, it's a heterosexual relationship, but it's a relationship outside of marriage, where you're tempted to engage in sexual activity, the Lord calls you to chastity. The Lord calls you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Maybe your struggle is with pornography. The Lord is asking us to rend our hearts to Him, not to come to Him on the surface, but to say, Lord, I really do, I have some sins. Maybe there's a deep addiction with pornography. There's not a man here that can't understand how pornography is a temptation. But maybe it's a deep addiction. That does not define you. You are defined by God's love for you and your response to His love. And He calls you to chastity, and it's possible for you. And He wants to make you His pure, spotless bride. And when you rend your heart to the Lord, and sometimes to one another, He wants to purify and get that guck out of each and every one of our hearts. I've got my sins. You've got yours. Maybe your sin is you've just been watching movies or TV that are not helpful, or reading books that are not helpful in chastity. And the reason I'm hitting on chastity is because this is what's all over the news. It's one of the first things Jesus mentions here as well. He wants to remind His people, I want you to be my pure, spotless bride, and your bodies, the sacredness of them, it's so beautiful. And I know that you're going to fall. I know that you're going to sin. This is not a condemnation. The Lord is saying, I want you to come to me not to be condemned, but to be healed. And sometimes we should rend our hearts a little bit to one another. Now, I don't mean come up in front of everybody and tell everybody your deepest, darkest sins and say, here's the worst thing I ever did. But maybe to a good friend, a trusted brother, you could rend your heart a little bit and say, you know, I put a good front on it, but I'm really struggling because I'm divorced and not remarried in the church. And the Lord says that that's adultery and I don't know what to do. Would you pray with me? What one of us is going to say, oh, that's crazy. That's gross. I don't think so. I think we're going to say, oh, brother, let's pray. Maybe you wouldn't say brother. That sounds too churchy for some. But this is what the body of Christ is supposed to do. And if somebody's temptation is different than yours, we don't get to judge somebody because their sexual temptation is different than mine. Okay, we all have different temptations. We all have different things that we struggle with. The question is, do we want to follow Jesus? Will we rend our hearts a little bit to one another? Again, using your judgment, but saying, here we're the body of Christ, and I need your support. I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray with me. Confession is a great place where we rend our hearts. We ask the Lord, purify me of anything. I've been listening to music that's terrible, and it's leading me into unchaste thoughts. Confession is where we do that. But also remember, when Jesus says, confess your sins one to another, he doesn't only mean confession, because the reality is this. I'm not going to then come back to you a couple weeks later and say, hey, how's it going with such and such? Because I'd be excommunicated. You know, so accountability is good in the body of Christ. Accountability is good. This is just part of the Lord saying, live in the light. Had a lot of secrets. You know, live in the light. Bend your hearts to me, to the Lord, to the Lord. We won't do that unless we trust how much he loves us and that he wants what's good for us and he wants what we were made for, the joy that we were made for. And he does want that. I mean, he made us. He knows what he's doing. And so he calls each and every one of us to rend our hearts before him so that when we come up to receive communion, like what we're saying when we receive communion is, I'm going to be one flesh with you. Wow. He's calling us to be his pure, spotless bride. Wow, I need to be purified. I need to be purified. Because I want to receive Jesus in communion and for it to mean something. When I receive Jesus in Holy Communion, I don't want to be cheating on him with something or someone else over here. I want to be faithfully his. The Lord is calling us, each and every one of us, to belong to him in this way. And it's the cause of belief for many. When we, as Christians and as followers of Jesus, rend our hearts to the Lord and ask him, Lord, purify my heart. I want to love you. I want to belong to you. I don't want to follow any of these idols, these sexual idols, maybe other idols. I don't want to follow those. I want to worship you, and I want to belong to you.